our gracious God and our loving Father in heaven, we draw into thy holy presence in the Saviour's most dear and precious name. We thank thee for him of whom we have been singing about, whoever lives to plead for us before the Father's throne. And we rejoice that it is in the confidence that thou hast made us to be accepted in the Beloved, that we dare to draw nigh into thy presence and to seek thy face and thy favour for this meeting tonight and for this Easter convention season. We come before thee and we realise that in and of ourselves we have nothing to plead. We think of Job of old. As he looked at his life, he was unable to say, I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. And Lord, as we look at our own lives and we're led again to confess our sin and our iniquity before thy throne, and we pray that thou will grant unto us due repentance of heart and sincerity of life and a holy desire to live for God and to be more and more conformed unto the image of God's own dear Son. We thank thee for the one whose bleeding wounds still plead for us. We thank thee for the vicarious sufferings of our Saviour on Calvary's rugged cross. We thank thee for all that he bore for us as his people. We thank thee that the whole weight of sin and judgment of God upon sin was laid upon him. And we rejoice tonight with the prophet of old. We can still say that it is by his stripes that we are healed. We pray that thou will draw very graciously near to us and keep us close to the cross right throughout these meetings. We pray that our vision might not be blurred, but that in these meetings we might get a fresh vision of the work of Christ and the victory of Christ over sin and Satan and death and hell on Calvary's rugged tree. And we pray that thou wilt lead each one of us into victory in these meetings that lie ahead in the will of God. And we pray for definite works of grace to be done in all of our hearts and in all of our lives. We pray for the sanctifying influences of God's Holy Spirit to be very much at work and at evidence in the meeting and through all of the contributions in the meeting, and especially through the preaching of God's word, that thou will draw alongside and touch hearts and touch lives. We pray for every child of God here assembled. We ask that again we might hear through the darkness and through the gloom the Master's voice to our hearts and lives, and that we might be led out after him, and that our hearts might be in tune with him. And Lord, we would ask that thou wilt even be pleased to set aside some for the work of God over these meetings. We thank thee for touching hearts in years gone by, and we do rejoice, Lord, for the legacy of these convention meetings in the years gone by. We thank thee for many in the work of God today who heard the call of God through these meetings. And we pray once again that the Spirit of God will do his own blessed work, and that thou wilt set aside young men and young women for the cause of the gospel of Christ, and that they might hear the Master's words, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And Lord, we would ask of thee for those in the gathering who are still strangers to thy grace and thy love and thy mercy. We do ask of thee that thou wilt draw sinners to thyself, and that these meetings will not come and go without dear lost ones coming to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Saviour. We ask for all who take part in the meetings, for the reports that will be given, for the presentations that will be shown, for the young people who will minister in song, and especially for thy dear servant who has the responsibility of preaching the word of the Lord this evening. We pray that thou, the Spirit of God, will lay liberally to his hand, and that he'll know that holy unction that only the Lord can impart, and that each one of us, as we would sit in the gathering, that we might know and sense that here we are gathered in the very midst, not only of the people of God, but in the very presence of God, and that God is here to meet with us. We thank thee for the covenant promises that thou hast given to us in thy word, that if we draw nigh unto thee, then thou wilt draw nigh unto us. And we do pray for that drawing of God in all of our hearts and lives throughout this weekend. So hear now our prayer, and abide with us, and grant unto us tokens of good and the Lord's strengthening hand. We ask for all who are on the field tonight. We think of those who cannot be here, and those who are labouring in far off places, those that labour under our own mission board. And we pray that thou will bless them this evening, and may they know and sense the power of God in their lives, and the reality that there are many people holding the ropes for them. We think of those under the board of our North American church. And again, Lord, we pray down the blessing of God upon their labours and their service for thee. And for all who labour faithfully in the Master's harvest field, we pray that thou wouldst cause them to know afresh in their lives the help and the blessing of the Spirit of God upon their labours for thee. So now attend unto our prayers, we beseech thee. And grant, Lord, we ask of thee, mighty answers throughout this weekend of meetings, and the hand of God to abide upon us all for good. For we pray this believing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
But when the Lord said those words to Moses, in Exodus 3, verse 10, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt," I felt a little bit like Moses, and I hesitated to go forward, and I felt like that a little bit tonight, getting up in front of all the people here. How did Moses feel with hundreds of thousands of people to lead out of Egypt? But this is a ministry, a youth ministry, that I believe the Lord has clearly steered me into, and I am delighted to be accepted by the mission board to potentially work as a youth outreach worker. And in recent months, I have known those words of what the Lord said to Moses. After even Moses hesitated, he said, "Certainly, I will be with thee." And so I'm delighted to be here to be able to give a little short report. God willing, throughout the year ahead, I will continue to promote the work of this youth ministry via deputation meetings in various congregations. I've already done 4 deputation meetings in some of our churches, and I've had a great time there with those people, and I thank God for the prayers of his people, and they've really encouraged me to keep going forward. And those bookings that have been made already in the various churches that I haven't been, I trust to see you soon, and look forward to those meetings and to see you at those meetings in the future. We're praying that God will confirm more and more throughout the year that this is definitely God's will, and this is definitely of God. So pray that God will guide us and make the path clear ahead. As I go out onto the board and make some starting points to this ministry, I'll be working alongside the Youth Council. Assisting them in some of the work that they do will help me get in touch with some of the young people that are in our church, and many of them are here tonight, and it's wonderful to see them all here this evening. Getting involved in the outreaches that they do and helping them in the events that they plan. I've already been helping in this field, which has been encouraging already to see the young people that are keen to keep going forward, helping in the delegates meetings and helping in a couple of sessions and speaking in a couple of sessions at the training weekend just back a couple of weeks ago. However, it's very important, as is any Christian ministry, to reach out beyond the compounds of our church walls and of our churches. And so I would ask you to pray for a couple of specific things. One of them is that after the Easter holidays, and between the Easter holidays and the summer holidays, we do want to approach secondary schools, and we're praying that God will open up the door to get into secondary schools to share God's word and assembly, scripture unions, and RE classes if that is possible. So do pray that as we present who we are and what the ministry is about and what we intend to do in the schools, that God will open up that door. I'd ask you to pray for that. Also pray that the Lord will open up other avenues around my home district of Dungannon. I'm a member of Dungannon Free Presbyterian Church, and I'm seeking to reach out from that area. So do pray that God will open up little avenues of service. Pray that throughout the early stages of this ministry, contact will be made, that opportunities will arise to help disciple inside and outside the church amongst young people and be able to assist them. Already have had a message expressing the burden of a mother for her two sons, and it's encouraging to hear that there's parents out there who are praying for their children and they want to see them saved, and they're still praying for them, and even though they're maybe outside their teens and they're still getting older, they keep praying and they keep praying. So pray that contact will be made. There's many challenges that face our young people. There's a lot of pressures from various influences to give up following Christ, and they need our prayers, and every one of us must pray for them and practice what we preach, living our lives without hypocrisy in our homes and in our churches, so that young lives themselves will learn to grow in Christ. It's very important. John 15, verse 16 was one of those verses that spoke to me before I went to Bible college. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." And I'm praying that God will bring forth fruit more and more in my life, as every believer ought to. But I'm praying for this ministry that fruit will blossom and that young lives will exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the early stages of my ministry, I'm continuing to work in a couple of places of employment. This is how I'm supporting myself and my wife Grace and my family. I don't have any kids, but I have a dog. Well, he's at home at the moment, but he didn't really want to come tonight. But Grace is working too. She's going down to 3 days a week in May in a daycare nursery in Hillsborough. And so do pray for us in these early stages as we support ourselves in this way until such times as God provides for us to go out on a more full-time basis. I know there's many young youth leaders here and ministers here who put a lot of effort into youth fellowships, and I encourage you to keep going forward. It's a necessary work, it's an important work, it's a challenging work, but it's a work that does see fruit in years that follow. Hudson Taylor said early on in his Christian life, at the age of 17, he said, "You must go forward on your knees." And so may there be many more like him who go forward on their knees young in life. Let's be praying to that end, that God will move. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening.
A word of thanks to Mr. Harris for leading us in prayer, and our brother Mr. Jonathan Smith for bringing that report. Do pray for this young man, that God's hand will be upon him as he seeks to enter into this special ministry among young people throughout our churches and even on a wider scale. We have our youth choir all ready here at the front to come forward and sing the Lord's praise. So they're going to come right now. We want to thank those who were involved in training them, getting them ready, and we trust the Lord will bless them now as they sing. And then right after the youth choir have sung, Reverend David Park will be coming to the pulpit to say a word about Kenya and Nepal. There will be a short video presentation at that same time. So I'm sure Mr. Park will be ready to get down here once the choir have sung. Young people, please come forward. May the Lord bless you as you sing.
Oh,
I want to thank the young people. Words are really inadequate to express how we all feel, because the Lord has been so powerfully glorified in those two pieces that you have just sung, and we appreciate all the work that has gone into this, and we thank you very much in the Lord's name. May the Lord bless you, everyone. Now Mr. Park will come and speak to us, and this little DVD will now be shown.
You will know that last October there was a group went out to Kenya, and we went there to celebrate the 30 years of faithful service of Miss Margaret Russell, working together with the Bible Christian Faith Church. And there was a sizable group that went out from Northern Ireland. 17 of our churches were represented. And then in the month of November, with the opportunity to visit Nepal for the very historic occasion of the founding of the new Free Presbyterian Church there. And we thoroughly enjoyed the visits. Want to pay tribute to the moderator, to the chairman of the board, and to those who came. It's good to belong to a church that is missionary-minded and has a burden in their heart for the work of the Great Commission. And we do rejoice in that tonight. There is a DVD presentation. What you're going to see tonight, very simply, first of all, is a song from Kenya, and the senior children of the Bible Christian Faith School are singing. It's a song that you'll recognize. We trust that it will be a blessing to you. And then there is a little thank you. Because of the 30th anniversary last year, we had a special project in the denomination, and that was to build two churches in Kenya. Kenya, the work is just a little bit slower than we do. So the first church is almost erected, and the second church, they'll get underway with that project in the very near future. But there is a little thank you there to all of our churches for participating in that project. And the target was reached of £30,000. So thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's other projects. If you're interested in involving yourself, your Bible class, your youth fellowship, your ladies fellowship, whatever, in a project, go to the website and look at the website, and it has the detail of all the projects. The second part of the presentation is to do with the precious orphanage in Kathmandu in Nepal. And this is a work that we, as a mission board, want to support, and as a denomination, we want to help. And we're relocating the orphanage to a new site. The new site is costing £84,000. And we're able to say tonight that over £50,000 has come in so far, and we want to thank you sincerely. But what you hear tonight and see is the Reverend Graham himself speaking about the orphanage. Thank you very much, Mr. Moderator. Thank you.
This has been my fourth visit to the precious children's orphanage here in Kathmandu. And once again, it's been an amazing experience to see boys and girls who are loved and nurtured and cared for and taught the things of God. And we would encourage our people at home to think of this as a vital support ministry, and to know that young lives are not only being cared for, but their eternal welfare has been cared for.
Just to go back and see these children, their environment, where they're so well cared for by Reverend Thapa and his wife, that was a tremendous experience. And we thank God for the diligence of our brother and sister.
The work of the orphanage is a work that is near to all of our hearts, to see these young people being brought up in a Christian atmosphere, in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, getting that godly Christian training in their early years, being educated in the things of God. And we do have to commend our brother Paul Thapa and his wife and his family and those who are involved in this ministry for all that they do.
The orphanage began in 2003 when Paul and his wife Mandira got a vision for the many orphan children of Nepal. And over the years, Paul has brought quite a number of children into the orphanage. At this moment, there are approximately 20 children. Now, the orphanage is not just merely a social work. It is a work which Paul sees to develop the reaching of the people in Nepal. He brings the children, he teaches them the word of God, and he hopes that at some future date, these children will then take the gospel to their own people. The fact is that the older children have now started to reach out to the villages of Nepal. Two of the oldest boys, when they finished their schooling, they did the Bible college course. They went to a village outside Kathmandu and they commenced a little fellowship of God's people. And one of those boys is the leader of that fellowship. Some of these children have come from very sad, tragic backgrounds. We think of Rhoda and little Joseph, brother and sister from a village in the far west of Nepal. Just about 2 years ago, there was a feature carried in one of the television networks of these two children who were left destitute in the village. Their mother had died and their father could not afford to look after them. And they were begging in the village just to get whatever scraps they could get. The television program asked if anyone could take these children. Paul Thapa instantly rang the program and he got possession of these children 2 or 3 days later. They are now in the orphanage. They're being taught the word of God. Of course, they're being educated in a local school. And then we have the case of a young lad called David. Just over 2 years ago, Paul Thapa was at one of the main hospitals with his son, taking his son there for treatment. And as he left the hospital, he noticed this young boy, maybe just 10 years of age, and he was begging outside the hospital. Paul got into conversation with him and discovered that he had come from the far west of Nepal. He had lost his parents. He didn't know much about his family. And Paul asked him, "Do you want to come with me?" The young boy instantly got on the back of Paul's motorbike. Paul brought him to the home, and now young David is in the home being educated, and it's a real thrill to see that young boy sitting in the meeting, singing the hymns and listening to God's precious word. And it is hoped that he, along with many of the other children, will eventually take the gospel to their own people in Nepal. We certainly appreciate the prayers of God's people from Northern Ireland and from the rest of the United Kingdom as well, who have taken this work upon their heart, have prayed for it, have supported it in a practical way. And we rejoice in the way the Lord has provided for the every need of the work.
Park for introducing this DVD presentation, and I believe he also put it together, and we appreciate all his help in that regard. And please continue to pray for the work in Kenya and Nepal, and we trust that God will do great things there again and again in those two lands, and moved by his Spirit. And having seen something concerning Kenya, we're very delighted to have Miss Noreen McAfee here now with us in the pulpit. She's home at the present time on furlough and going around in deputation work, and I'm sure already many of the churches have had the privilege of having Miss McAfee along to speak about her work in that land of Kenya. She's going to do so now. She's going to bring a report. We welcome you and trust the Lord will bless you, Noreen, as you speak now.
Well, I do want to thank the organisers and the Presbytery and the Mission Board for the opportunity to be here tonight and to share with you about the work of God in the land of Kenya. I should also say that I really enjoyed the singing. It takes me back to my young days, not that I'm very old, but it takes me back to my young days when I used to be up there singing, and it was really a credit to all who were involved. And also the DVD that we've just seen, I want to thank the Reverend Park for the hard work that he has put into putting together these productions and helping to promote the work of God there on the mission field. Now, I should bring greetings from my missionary colleagues who are serving the Lord out there and who'd love to be here tonight, and maybe they've managed to get a signal and to tune in on sermon audio if it's going out live over the webcast. From Margaret, from Gillian, from Kathy, and from the Pattersons, I want to say hello to all the folks here in Northern Ireland, and also, of course, from the Kenyans themselves, from the Reverend Kendagore and the ministers and elders and pastors and members of the Bible Christian Faith churches. We want to thank you for your prayers over these many years. We want to thank you for the financial support that you've given to the work. You have been so faithful and so generous in helping us to meet the needs that have arisen from time to time. I also want to thank the group who came out last year. It was wonderful to have them. And we want to thank those who supported the appeal for that new church building in Mokotano. I think they had to move into it on Sunday. They had a special meeting, and they had so many people they couldn't get them into the old building. So they went into that building just the way it was. Not that it's finished yet, but they look forward to the day when they will be able to use it to the glory of God, and when it will be completely finished. Now, if I can just remind you of some of the aspects of the work as they continue there in Kenya. The church work, of course, the local churches do continue to pray for God's blessing upon our pastors and our ministers, and pray that God would raise up new pastors and new workers. It's a great burden that we have. As I've been going around the churches, I've been saying the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labourers are few. We've been asking people to pray that the Lord would call forth more workers, more Kenyan workers, and even more foreign workers into that great harvest field of Kenya, where there are 44 million people to be reached with the gospel. Pray for the Sunday school work. They're just winding up. They've had their examinations. They've had most of the prize-giving services. Those will be completed this month, and then they'll embark on a new year in the Sunday school work. And pray for Margaret as she coordinates that, and as she oversees the putting together of a new set of visual aids for the Sunday school programme. Pray for her too, as she's looking after the school while I'm away. She is, of course, the manager, so she's very capable, and things are probably going far better than ever. But pray for her with the added responsibilities that God will undertake, and bless her. We have almost 700 children in the school now, and I was thinking even how much emphasis there has been on the young people and on the children tonight. We had Mr. Johnny Smith talking about his work amongst the young, and we've seen something of the school in Kenya. We couldn't bring the children here, but we did our best. We brought the video of the children here, and then we saw those lovely young children at the orphanage in Nepal. And I was thinking of how Christ said to Simon Peter after the resurrection, "Lovest thou me?" And then he went on to say, "Feed my lambs." And that is one of the great commands that Christ has given to us, to feed the lambs and to feed the young ones, to feed the children and to labour amongst the young people and the youth and the boys and girls. So we thank God for the children in the academy. We thank him for bringing them in, for putting it in the hearts of their parents to sacrifice and to bring the boys and girls along to the Christian Academy. Some have professed faith in Christ, and we rejoice in that, but many of them, of course, are still outside of Christ. And we would ask you to pray sincerely that the Lord would move in their hearts and that he would bring them to a knowledge of himself. Pray as well for the parents. Many of them don't know the Saviour, and it is our desire that through what the children learn, that they might also be reached with the good news and the gospel and the message of salvation. And pray for our staff. I, of course, don't run the school all by myself. We have 60 workers who are involved there, some teaching and others working behind the scenes. It's very much a team effort, and we need each and every one of them. And pray for them in their various roles and in their various responsibilities, that God would give them grace and give them help and undertake for them at this time. Now, when it comes to the nursery schools, we have another 600 children out there outside the main school compound who are also being reached on a daily basis with the Word of God. And there's a great need at the moment for nursery teachers. We're looking for 7 new teachers. And we are interviewing, I won't be there, but those who are there will be interviewing on the 29th of April to get those 7 new teachers. So pray very much. Now, we've had interviews before, and it's a very long day, and it's very tiresome. Person after person comes in, and you go through the same questions, and you're really seeking for the Lord to guide you as to those who are suitable and those who will do a good job. But pray that even when they meet that day, that all 7 schools will be covered, and that the Lord will undertake in that regard. And pray for those little children who hear the Word of God every day. Gillian sent a message just this afternoon. She had a 5-day club this week. It finished up today, and she had over 80 boys and girls in there down in Newport. So that was a great encouragement as well. She says she's wrecked, but at least the boys and girls have heard the word, and we praise and we thank God for that also. Kathy, of course, is continuing the bookshop ministry and in the music, and you saw something of that tonight, the Chimes Choir. She also has a recorder choir and training the young people to sing and presenting the gospel in that way and by those means. And then, of course, do remember the Reverend and Mrs. Patterson labouring in the Bible College, and also the Reverend Patterson's involved in preaching on the Sundays around the various churches of BCFC, especially in the Catali side, where the Reverend Harris used to labour, and down in Kakamega, down in Yuporo, where Gillian is working, and his wife Alison has been helping very much amongst the ladies of Bible Christian Faith Church, and we appreciate their efforts, and we thank God for them. And just as a group, as a team of missionaries, we want to encourage you to continue to pray for us and to continue to support the work, because we know without you we couldn't be there, and we couldn't be able to continue and to serve God and to do the things that we do. The Reverend Park mentioned the projects somewhere in Ballymena a few weeks back, and you would have heard about the projects. There are a number of projects that are running at the moment, and if you can help, then I know that the Missionary Council will really, really appreciate your support. Just before I sit down, I was thinking today about that time when the Lord Jesus Christ took his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. And you remember he went there with the 11. Judas had gone out into the night, but he went there with the 11. And when they reached that place, there were some, and he said to them, "Sit ye here while I go yonder and pray." But then we read, "Then he taketh Peter and the sons of Zebedee." He took Peter and he took James and John. And you know, Christ took them all to the garden, but there were some that he took a bit further. And there were some that he had something special to say to. And I believe that Christ has brought us all here into his presence tonight, and I trust he will speak to all of us. But I also pray that there will be some here that the Lord will speak to in a special way. That the Lord will show you that he wants you to go further. That he wants you to do more. And that he wants you to give more of yourself to his work and to his service. Maybe the Lord has something special to say to you. I hope that you will listen, and that if the Lord calls you tonight, that you will be obedient and that you will go at his command. Thank you again for listening. May the Lord bless you.
We're turning in our hymn books now to hymn number 640. Thank Mr. Murray for bringing those announcements. And let's all be much in prayer for the conventions that continues, that God will pour out his Spirit. And here's a hymn that reminds us of our need of the work of the Spirit. Hymn number 640, O Breath of Life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. And while we sing some of these verses, your offering will now be received. Let's give to the Lord's work. After expenses are taken from the offerings, it will all be going toward missionary work, so keep that in mind. 640, keep your seats while we sing. Verse 5, our final verse before we sing that verse. The Reverend Ian Brown, minister of the church, is going to read the scriptures for Mr. Hanna, and then right after the scriptures are read, Mr. Hanna will come to preach. Let me welcome Reverend John Hanna to the pulpit here this evening. We are delighted that he is able to be here and come as our guest preacher for this Friday night rally. And we all know Mr. Hanna. We thank God for his many, many years of faithful ministry in the land of Spain, as he has pioneered the work there and has seen the Lord do great things over the time gone by. And we thank God for him and for all who labour in Spain. And we trust the Lord will bless his servant tonight as he will preach the word. So we welcome him very heartily. So we'll sing this verse, then Mr. Brown will read the scripture, the minister of the congregation here, and then Mr. Hanna will come to bring God's word. Let's stand, please, for verse 5.
Perhaps you could turn in the Word of God tonight to the book of 1 Peter and to the second chapter. 1 Peter and the chapter 2. We'll commence to read at verse 1 and we'll end at verse 10. 1 Peter, second chapter, and the verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, but unto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing onto the reading of his divinely given word.
Thank you, brother. I count it a joy and a great honor to be here tonight and to have this opportunity to renew fellowship, especially on this occasion when we have so many of our congregations represented. I bring you greetings from our churches and our missionaries in Spain, and I briefly take the opportunity to thank you all very sincerely for your prayers for us personally, as well as the other missionaries and the works in which we labor. Now, before we turn to God's word tonight to meditate on it, let's just take a few moments to still ourselves before the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's every one of us seek the Lord's face. You cry to the Lord that the Lord, through his word, will speak to your heart and will speak to the hearts of all who are gathered here tonight. Let's all pray. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we rejoice for this occasion. We thank thee for the opening of thy word. We thank thee for all that we have heard tonight of the blessing of the Lord upon our denomination and very especially upon the mission work. We give thee thanks, Lord, for what we have seen and what we have heard. And we rejoice that our hearts have been touched as we have sung the hymns together and as we have heard the choir sing. Lord, we thank thee for drawing near, speaking to our hearts already. And now as we come to open thy word, Lord, we're conscious of our weakness and of our own inability, but we thank thee that we can say with the apostle that our sufficiency is of the Lord. We thank thee for the blessed Holy Spirit, and we pray that we will know his anointing on the preaching of thy word tonight. Lord, you know each person here, you know every need. And we pray that through the message of thy word, thou wilt come and minister to every heart. And as our sister Noring has reminded us, Lord, we pray that in a special way, thou wilt draw near and speak to those that you would have to step out and to follow thee in service, whether here at home or on the mission field of the world. So grant us now thy help, that in all things the Lord Jesus Christ would have the preeminence. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. My text is found tonight in that portion of scripture that was read earlier, in the words of the verse 9. First Peter chapter 2 and the 9th verse. Peter here is writing to those who have been scattered abroad. And he says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The theme of our text is the privilege and at the same time the responsibility of the believer as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. The way that Peter here describes this responsibility reminds us of an expression that we're all very familiar with. I'm thinking of the expression of a show-off. You've all heard that expression. It is used to describe someone who likes to be much in the limelight, to one who likes to draw attention to his own person, to his own self. In a sense, what Peter is saying here is that the believer in Jesus Christ should be a show-off, but not in the sense that we have just described. Far from it. He is to be one who will not show off himself, but who will show off the glories, the beauties, and the excellencies of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You'll notice how he expresses that there, that ye should show forth or show off the praises of him who hath called you. It is important to know here that Peter isn't speaking generally. In other words, he's not speaking just to anyone and to anybody, but he's speaking particular to those who have been called out of nature's darkness. They have been brought out of their sin, and they have been brought to Christ, the light of the world. And the solemn duty, therefore, of all those who have been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ is to make Christ known throughout the world. That was the Great Commission, wasn't it? When the Lord commanded not only his disciples, but his church to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And surely that is only to be expected. For having experienced such a marvelous transformation, it is only to be expected, it is only natural that we would want to show forth the praises of him who has done so much for us. From the context here, we learn that this is the bound duty, not of some, but of all who belong to Jesus Christ. Christ, the light of the world, has transformed into light all those whom he has brought out of the darkness of their sin, and he has made them like himself. And consequently, he sends them as his lights out into this world of darkness to bring the light of the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior. Now, by doing that, Peter says, we are showing off. We are showing forth the praises of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us think for a few moments on the meaning of that phrase, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Possibly at first sight, that might sound a little strange to you, because we don't normally talk about showing forth praises. We talk about singing praises, or we talk about showing forth, say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Peter here, guided by the Spirit of God, clearly says that we are to show forth his praises, the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ. This expression is very, very unusual. In fact, it's the only time that it is used in all of the Word of God. Literally, it means to tell out, to proclaim, to make known. It has the force of telling something that is otherwise unknown. And it's not merely a telling forth by the means of words, by using words. There is much more behind it. Because the apostle here, and remember what we said before about the show-off, drawing attention to himself. Everything in himself, every part of his being is used to the end that he will draw attention to himself. And Peter says here, well, we're to show forth, but not about ourselves. In other words, we're to use every faculty of our being, every aspect of our life, is to show forth the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he states what we are to show forth. He says we are to show forth his praises, the praises of our Savior. If you look at the margin of your Bible, you will see that another rendering there could be virtues. We're to show forth his virtues. Strong in his concordance says that it might also be translated courage or excellencies. And it carries the idea of doing heroic deeds. So our duty as believers is to be bold. Our duty is to live in obedience to the revealed written will of God. Now, that does take courage. In other words, we're to show forth the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter here uses this phrase, we're to show forth his praises. We listen to the choir tonight. And we heard each voice and every one how, when they all sang together, they were in perfect harmony. It's the concept of an orchestra. All the different instruments are being played. And all the different instruments are being conducted by a conductor. And they are in perfect harmony as they follow the instructions of the conductor. And so should our lives, every aspect of our lives. Should be in perfect tune, should be in perfect harmony with our great conductor, the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that we are to show forth the marvels of his person. We're to show forth the wonders of his perfections. We are to show forth the excellencies of his work. Could I ask you as a believer, is that true in your life? Does that correspond to your testimony? Can it be said of you that every faculty of your being, every aspect of your life is showing forth a very clear message, is declaring a message? There is a man, there is a woman, there's a young person, and they belong to Jesus Christ. It is quite clear to be seen that their lives are in harmony with the Word of God and the will of Christ. Is that true of your life tonight? Now that we have understood the meaning of this phrase, let us think for a few moments about the miracle that makes all this possible. The miracle is expressed here in these terms, in the terms of darkness and of light. And in order that we can fully appreciate the miracle of what God has done for you and done for me, we have to remember, and the Word of God again and again reminds us, what we are by nature. The expression darkness is something that reoccurs again and again throughout the whole of the New Testament. And the idea is not something that, or like, as if we were out walking in a dark night, a black night, when it is impossible to see, but we have the ability to see. The only trouble is our circumstances.
Now, what the Bible talks about darkness is not something that surrounds us. And it is true that we are surrounded by darkness. The Bible talks about the God of this world and the influence that he is having throughout our world. And we know that in the different societies where we live and where we work and we seek to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when the Bible, the New Testament, talks about darkness, it's talking about something that is within us. You remember when Peter wrote to the Ephesians, he was reminding them of where they had come from. He was reminding them of their past condition. And he says, ye were sometimes darkness. In other words, he was describing what was within them. What they were by essence. What they were by nature. And so that was our case. We were darkness. Our minds, darkness, blinded by the God of this world. Our hearts, deceitful and desperately wicked. Our wills, inclined only to do evil. That is the situation that we lived in. But the apostle here is reminding them not only where they had been, but where they now are. He's reminding them, in other words, of the miracle of God's grace. He says here in this chapter that they're called out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's the very same expression that Paul uses over there in that his letter to the Ephesians. He says, you were sometimes darkness, but now. But now, and he's emphasizing the miracle of God's grace. But now are ye the children of the light. Isn't that a wonderful thing? My, what a motivation it is for us as we think about this responsibility, this privilege that we have. The world around us lost and without Christ, and God in his grace has come into our lives. He's transformed us. He's made us a new creation, new creatures in Christ Jesus, to the end that we would be his lights, that we would go out into all the world and we would bring with us the light of the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So because of the miracle of God's grace, we read here that we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We need to underline that word, called. It's used 10 times in the epistles, and every time it has reference to what God does. You see, the emphasis is always on what the Lord does. That's what Peter is emphasizing here in our text. He doesn't say one day it occurred to us that we were in darkness and we better search for the light. No, he says, God called us out of our darkness. And if God hadn't called us out of our darkness, we would have been lost and in danger of outer darkness for all eternity. Now, the New Testament speaks of the two kinds of callings. There is a general call, the call that we're all or should be involved in, with giving witness to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say, if not all of us, most of us here in this meeting tonight have been conscious of that calling from a very early age. Certainly that was my case. In fact, I can't even remember a time when I wasn't conscious or aware of that general call of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the tragedy is, as we look back over those years in the past, we hang our heads in shame and lament the years that we turned down, that we rejected that call. Every time the gospel came to us, clearly proclaiming our need for repentance from sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only means of salvation, again and again we turned down. We closed our ears, we stopped up our ears to the call of the gospel. But there came a day. There came a moment in our experience when that changed. There came a moment of transformation when the miracle of God's grace took part. What happened? God in grace called us unto himself. Remember the story about Lazarus? Lazarus was dead for 4 days in the tomb. You might imagine the sisters going out and their heart's desire, oh, we can put ourselves so easily in their place. They've just lost a loved one. How they would long to have him back and to have him there in their midst. Had they gone to that tomb in cold, it would have made no effect. But the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and standing at the side of Lazarus' tomb, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And immediately Lazarus came forth. He left the place of darkness. He left the place of death. And he came to the one who had given him light, the one who had given him the ability to respond to this irresistible call. That's how it was, believer, in your life. That's how it was in my life. You remember that day when the call came to bring us to the place of repentance and to the place of faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, all that is to an end. Peter is emphasizing here that God has done this miracle. But he says this miracle is to an end. This miracle is so that we would become his means, his method, in order to bring his message of the gospel, in order to show forth, to show off the excellencies of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have that there at the beginning of our text. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And then he says, that ye should show forth his praises. Here is how the Lord wants to be shown off. He wants us to show off his excellencies. And so the Lord has worked a miracle. He's worked a miracle in your life. He's worked a miracle in my life to this end that we would show forth his praises. Now, what exactly has the Lord done so that we would become his messengers, his method to bringing the message of the gospel into this world that is in darkness? Well, first of all, Peter says he has made us a chosen generation. The Greek here is very emphatic. We have already seen what our condition was by nature, that we were under the dominion, we were under the rule, we were under the power of sin, and therefore we were under the curse and the wrath of God. Could I say to you in this meeting tonight, if you're here without Christ, and I cannot take for granted that every person in the meeting tonight is a believer. If you're here in this meeting tonight without Christ in your life, in other words, you're still in that place of darkness, in nature's darkness. You're still bound by your sin. Well, the Bible says that you are already condemned. You are under the wrath and the judgment of God. Believer, how we need that truth to be written upon our hearts. When we think about our loved ones unsaved, we think about our parents, our children, different members of our families, loved ones who are outside of Christ. What is the vision? What is the thought, the innermost thought in your mind as you think about these unsaved people in your family, the friends, the people you work with? the Lord reminding us here that he has done this miracle of grace in us, sending us forth to the end that these people who are where we once were might be brought into the glorious light of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where we were. That's where these unsaved people now are. But look at this. He says, but, ye are a chosen generation. In other words, he's saying, there is a distinction. There has to be a clear distinction between the believer and the unbeliever. Just as clear a distinction as there is from darkness to light. And is that not something that needs to be stressed in these days in which we're living in? When there's so many shady areas, when there's so many movements and influences that are coming throughout the whole evangelical world, that is dimming, that is destroying that clear demarcation that ought to exist between the Lord's people and the people who are yet in their sins. And Peter here is stressing what has made this distinction. What has made this distinction is the electing grace of God. You know, some people get their backs up and they get all hot under the collar when you mention the word election. I can't understand why. It's a teaching of God's word. What's more, it's something that brings great comfort to the heart of the child of God. It's the very basis of our salvation. There is no greater comfort for the believer than this blessed doctrine. But notice here what God's grace has done. An election made us a chosen generation. That word generation is the same word where we get the word generate. In other words, the emphasis here, once again, is on what the Lord has done. What has the Lord done? He has generated the people from before eternity in his purpose and in his plan. And that plan was brought to fruition with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, when he rose again the third day, when he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, praying for those that he represented, when he shed his blood, he's now praying for them in the Father's presence. To the end that they would be the generate, or to use the New Testament term, the regenerate people of God. People who have been regenerated by the Spirit of God. Now, child of God, if you profess tonight to be saved, that's the basis of your salvation. What a motivation. What a motivation as Peter here is motivating these believers. He's wanting them to be showing forth. He's wanting them to be telling out the glories of Christ. And in order to do that, he reminds them of what God in sovereign grace and electing grace has done for them. He has chosen them from before the foundation of the world, chosen you from before the foundation of the world, that you would show forth the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read through Peter, either first or second Peter, you will see how strongly he's influenced by the scriptures of the Old Testament. Again and again in his phraseology, it's almost like reading verbatim from the Old Testament scriptures. And so is the case here. He very probably has in mind here Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Chosen to be a special people. Because you see, it's only that special people who can show forth the work of grace, the work of God's grace in our lives. Doesn't that remind us of the words of the Lord Jesus in his last great discourse? We're thinking this weekend, Easter weekend, We're thinking about the cross, the glorious resurrection of Christ. Christ is contemplating that when he speaks here with his disciples. John chapter 15 and verse 16. Someone already quoted this verse tonight. He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." That is precisely what Peter is emphasizing here. He's not just talking in a cold, academic way about the doctrine of election to show how much he knows about this great truth from God's Word. He's talking about something here with a very practical application. He says, not only have we been chosen unto salvation for the forgiveness of our sins, transformed in new creatures, we have been ordained unto eternal life in order that we would show forth his praises. Now, child of God, if that doesn't touch your heart, if that doesn't stir your heart and give you a desire as you think of what God in grace has done for you, if that doesn't stir your heart, then I think you need to put a question mark on all of your experience. But you'll notice here that not only does he emphasize the fact that we're a chosen nation or a chosen generation, he says he has made us a royal priesthood. Remember, Peter is thinking here in Old Testament terms, and in this case, very possibly thinking about Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6. He says, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests." Speaking to Israel through Moses. Here God is revealing his purpose for his people. Now we're in the old dispensation, the time of the Old Testament. And we see here how this is the purpose of God right from the beginning, right from the formation of this nation, right from the calling of this people. But what do we find when we read the history of this people? We see how they failed abysmally. But then we come into the New Testament. And we read there that when the fullness of time was come. What's this fullness of time? It's the time that it was appointed from before eternity. It's the time that was emphasized when in the Garden of Eden God spoke to Adam and Eve, and he spoke to them about the seed of the woman. It's what is emphasized again and again throughout the Old Testament scriptures to this mostly unbelieving, rebellious people. He's speaking about the seed of David. He's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The term royal priesthood can be understood in two ways. It can mean a priesthood belonging to the king or in the service of the king. And it can also mean a priesthood exercising royal dominion. Royal dominion. Now, the New Testament clearly shows that while in the old administration of the covenant, Israel failed abysmally, yet in the administration in the New Testament, it is completely fulfilled, perfectly fulfilled in the seed of David, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, as a result of Christ's work, his perfect life, his atoning death, his glorious resurrection, sitting down, having finished the work at the right hand of the Father above, John tells us that he has made us priests and kings unto God. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father." Think about that. In Christ, we not only serve him who is King of Kings, we rule with him. We have been made to sit together with our King in heavenly places. And not only do we rule with our King, but as priests, we are not only administered to by our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are also called to administer or minister through him as we look out into the world. This is God's method. This is the reason why he has made us to be a royal priesthood. Kings to rule with him. He has given us all authority. He says, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore. Never you doubt, believer, the authority that you have. When someone closes the door in your face or someone tries to stop you giving testimony for Christ, remember you as a king and Christ have authority. You have authority. But not only that, we've been made priests. You look through the New Testament and there's no office of priest. There's no longer any need of the office of priest because Christ has finished the work. And so the New Testament speaks to us about the universality of the priesthood of the believer. Priests to stand before Christ on behalf of those that you are seeking to win for Christ. You see, that's where soul winning really starts. Soul winning doesn't start just going out and knocking the doors. It doesn't start going out to hand out tracts. It starts in the secret place. It starts in the sanctuary. It starts on your knees before God. As a priest, you have that responsibility. And you must intercede. And as you intercede and you seek the unction of God's power, in his authority, you then go to proclaim the glorious message, showing forth the glories of Christ. But not only that. He says, we have been made a holy nation. This too is a description of Israel from the Old Testament, very probably from Exodus chapter 19 and the verse 6. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I am the Lord. I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. Mine. In every case, the reference is to a people that the Lord has separated in order to make a distinction from every other people. That's why the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. He wanted them to be different, distinct from Egypt. That's why during those 40 years, he emphasizes again and again that the land that they're going in to possess is at the moment possessed by people who are contrary to the will of God. Full of false religion. They are not to be influenced. They are to be separate from all of these people. Of course, this means that we have been set apart for service. Separated means to be set apart. And so we've been set apart by Christ for service. But you know, it means much more than that. It means much more than simply thinking about what our responsibility is of going out and witnessing to others. It means that we've been set apart by Christ to enjoy a special relationship with Christ. It is vital we understand this for the simple reason that service for God is always the result of a right relationship with Christ. So it is vital. You'll see how again and again the apostle is stirring up the hearts of his readers. He's wanting them to be showing forth. And how does he do it? He reminds them how God has called them, how God has separated them, called them apart, not only given them a responsibility of speaking out, but coming in and having a special communion and fellowship with Christ. When we go back to that last discourse of Christ in John chapter 15, that's what he emphasized to his disciples, verse 4. Abide in me. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Only as we abide in intimate fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through his word, having communion day by day with Christ through his word, only then can we show forth his praises. This is God's method. This is God's means of bringing his light to a world that sits in darkness. And then there's one final thing that he describes here in order to stir up the hearts of his readers. He reminds them that Christ has made us a peculiar people. A peculiar people. If you look at the margin of your Bible, you will see that this word peculiar can also be translated purchased. Purchased. It's the very same word that is used in different places in the New Testament. For example, in Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 14, where it talks about the redemption of the purchased possession. You and I, we are a peculiar people for a very simple reason. Because we have been purchased. Purchased with a price that cannot be calculated. You remember how the Apostle Paul reminded the readers at Corinth of that? 1 Corinthians 5 verse 20 says, ye are bought with a price. Ye are bought with a price. And in the previous verse, he asks the question, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Very often, you know, when we think about Christ's death, we think about the cross. We think about the benefits for the soul. And we forget about the benefits for the body. And you know, the emphasis in the New Testament is equal. It's not only the benefits for the soul, but the benefits for the body. And Paul reminds us, these believers, what a benefit. The benefit is through the cross, through the redemptive work of Christ, our bodies, these bodies, human, natural bodies, have become the temple of the Spirit of the Triune God. And you know, there's only one conclusion that you can draw from that, and it's the conclusion that Paul here draws in verse 20. Therefore, knowing these truths, knowing this reality, this price that has been paid, therefore, glorify God. How? In your body. In your body. So, it is important what you do with your body. It is important the way you act, the way you present yourself. Remember, we're talking about showing forth, showing off Christ. And the way you do that is not simply by a soul that cannot be seen, but by what can be seen, by what you are physically, by your body, by the way you dress, by the way you speak, by the way you act, by everything that you do. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Only the spirit, the body, belong to Christ. This child of God is God's method. You, me, we are God's method. To what end? To show forth the praises. The praises of him who has done all this for us. The one who made us an elect generation. The one who made us a royal priesthood. the one who separated us unto himself, the one who has made his purchased possession. I think, child of God, in the light of that tonight, we need to take a good long look at our lives. Are you a show-off? Well, maybe you are, but you're showing off in the wrong way. Showing off the things of the flesh. Showing off in the sense that you are conforming yourself to the world and to the things of the world. Peter says that cannot be so in the life of the believer. When you contemplate all that Christ is, and you appreciate that in your heart, and you contemplate all that Christ has done for you, how can you do anything else? How can you be anything else but showing forth his praises? That is, or should be, the testimony of every child of God. But as we've already thought about tonight, the Lord, you know, sometimes he comes and he wants, just like he did there in Gethsemane, he wants to take a step further. It's the will of God tonight for some people in this meeting to take that further step. Not only to show forth the praises of Christ in the place where you now are, but he's wanting you to step out on the promise of God. By faith, he wants you to go and to show forth his praises. Where? Well, I don't know that. I hope it would be Spain. Maybe Africa. But the question is this. Are you prepared? Are you willing? Are you prepared to take that step tonight in your heart before God, in the silence of your heart? Will you say like Isaiah? You've heard the call. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? What's the reply of your heart? I trust it will be, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Send me. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts.
I want to thank the Lord's servant for bringing the word this evening. Our hearts have been challenged. He has been showing us very clearly here that on the basis of what the Lord has done for us, we are to go forth and serve him. Should there be any here this evening who would like to speak with Mr. Hannah, maybe someone whose heart has been touched, and you'd like to talk to him about what you've felt, what you've experienced under the preaching of the word tonight, and then make your way to him at the close of the service and have a word with him, or any of the ministers who are here. There are many young people here this evening. It's our desire, our prayer, that the Lord will lay his hand upon many of our young who are rising up in our church, our denomination, that we will see many more sent forth by Christ. And it's in meetings like this that many hearts are often touched and the challenge is felt and the call of God is sensed. And you may want to speak to Mr. Hannah or me or some of the other men who are here about these matters, please do so, and we'll be glad to have a word with you and hear from you and give you some guidance and counsel for time to come. And so we thank the Lord for his word tonight. I've been given a slip of paper here. The offering this evening came to £3,306.50. And we thank you very much indeed for that very generous offering. May the Lord bless you for your giving. I'll just say to you, you probably have an order of service and you're able to see inside that it covers the whole of the convention meetings, so please hold on to yours, if you will, bring it back on Monday. Plan to be here on Monday and enjoy the service on that day, but hold on to these and bring them back on Monday. Hymn number 684. Hymn that is really focused on what we've heard tonight. Ye that know the Lord is gracious, ye for whom a cornerstone stands of God elect and precious, laid that ye may build thereon. See that on that sure foundation ye a living temple raise, towers that may tell forth salvation, walls that may re-echo praise. Number 684. We're going to stand together while we sing from this hymn, and we'll sing all three verses. We will stand while we do so and remain standing for the closing prayer. Then remember the supper, as was announced in the top floor of the complex. You're warmly invited to go there to enjoy the provision that's made, and we trust the Lord will bless our time together in that way. So number 684, and let's really sing. Unite our hearts together. Let's all come before the Lord in prayer as we close out this meeting this evening. Our God and our Father, we praise thy name this evening for thy presence with us here and for the exalting of Christ in the preaching of thy precious word and in song and also in report. We thank thee for the one who is worthy of all honor and all praise. We bless thee tonight for what he has done in the hearts of his children. Thank thee for the miracle of grace. We thank thee, O Lord, for opening up the eyes of our understanding to show us the beauty of Christ and his sufficiency, that blessed work of the cross, that atonement made for sin, redemption through the blood. O Lord, how we thank thee that there was a time when every believer's eyes were opened and when we were brought out of darkness into light. We thank thee, O Father, for that standing that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, deal with hearts here this evening. May young people especially know their souls stirred, even concerning what the Lord would have them to do. Lord, may that question, that thought arise within many a heart. May there be young men and young women who will be dealt with by the Spirit and through the Word. And in the light of the claims of Christ over them, see within themselves that call of God to go forth and serve the Lord Jesus. Lord, remember as we pray. Remember thy servant who has preached the word. bless him in his labours for thee in Spain and all who serve with him there. Remember our entire missionary family who are labouring for Christ in various places. And, O God, we pray that thou wilt remember their work for thee and encourage their souls. We think of others of like mind and like precious faith. And we pray, Lord, that across the nations of this world, thou wilt work mightily and thou wilt gather thy people to thyself. Bless us now, remember on Monday. O God and Father, move with power as we gather here. And may there be a great work done for the praise and the honour of thy holy name. Lord, abide with us now. Take our thanks for the refreshments provided. Give travelling mercies homeward. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of God the Spirit be with all who know and love thee. We pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.